Saturday, Hare Krishna. A very warm welcome to each one of you. It's a nice Saturday evening, 30th of Jan 2021. It's a new year, a new beginning, and all of us are excited to see what this year has in store for all of us. Today, we are here to share with you a very interesting topic from Chetna IYS. And this the topic for today is live to give and give to live. A lot of us, while we're leading our lives, we want to understand what's the purpose of our life. And this probably is going to lead you just into that. And what a beautiful time, the beginning of the year, to actually know what could be the right purpose to take you through the entire year. So as we get prepped up for hearing from our guest speaker today, let's first take you to some melodious kirtan. And let's welcome our kirtan team to lead us into a beautiful evening kirtan. Hari Bol. Hare Krishna. Can we have the kirtan team, please?
Hari Bol. Hare Krishna. So let's start our kirtan. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamitri Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Ashwata Dijata Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivashati Gaur Bhaktavinoda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna Krishna Hare Rama Hare Rama
Yeah.
Hari Ram, Hari Ram, Ram Ram, Ram Ram, Hari Ram.
Hare Krishna. Thank you. A very, very big thank you to the Kirtan team. And we wish to say thank you to you by three times loudly saying, Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol. Thank you for leading us into this beautiful Kirtan this evening. And so to all of you who've joined us, a very warm welcome once again. And we are just about to start with our session for this evening. Like you know, the topic for today is live to give and give to live. This is indeed a very, very important matter, subject or a topic, as I could say. And normally people say that doctors is a noble profession. In fact, they are people who really live to give. And we've all experienced it during the wake of this pandemic, how doctors have been with us and they've been fighting through these tough times and helping each one of us stay afloat these tough times. And it is such a pleasant surprise that we have a doctor amidst us this evening. So the speaker for today is Her Grace Arjunya Gopi Mataji. And let me quickly give you a short introduction about her. She is Dr. Anita Ramachandran. She is a doctor by profession. She has done her MD in clinical microbiology from KEM Hospital and Medical College. She now works as a faculty associate professor at Lokmanya Tilak Medical College. She guides graduates as well as postgraduates for their degrees. Her father has been a life member of ISKCON since 1983, and that's how she would regularly visit ISKCON, ISKCON Juhu, as a child along with her family. And thereafter, she personally took shelter of the process of chanting since 1997, and she's been there ever since. She assists her good husband as a counselor for the Radha Gopinath congregation. And she has a great interest in connecting with the youth and inspiring them on the path of real progress. So this is indeed a very pleasureful moment for us, Arjunya Gopi Mataji. Thank you so much for being with us. And we're all very, very keen and eager to hear from you on this most wonderful topic, which is so important, especially for the young generation. And also wish to inform everyone who's joined us that in case time permits, we would want to address a few of your questions in the end. So feel free to share your comments, your love, your feedback, and of course, your questions with us in the live chat as we go through this session. And without much ado, Arjunya Gopi Mataji, please take us through this lovely session. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Thank you very much, Sakhi Radha. Om Gyanti Mirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurume Namaha Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitinami Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Desha Harine Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Krupa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Vedadhar Shri Vasudhi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Thank you, Sakhi Radha, for your kind introduction. And thank you, Shikha and your team, for a very, very sweet and melodious kirtan. I welcome you all again for this session on a topic very close to my heart, that is live to give, give to live. So I'll begin with a short story. This is a real life story. So there was this young boy who was quite poor, couldn't get much to eat, was left alone to fend for himself. But he was very keen to be updated on everyday's news and knowledge from around. So there was this old newspaper vendor who was himself quite poor, but then this young man would always go to this newspaper vendor and pick up the copy and not pay him anything. And the newspaper vendor was perfectly okay with it. They had a hidden untold agreement, and he would every day take the newspaper from him and read and update himself. And gradually over the years, due to his struggle, due to his hard work, somehow this young man, he became a big businessman and achieved a lot of prosperity. But then one fine day, he actually remembered that, you know, when I didn't have anything, but I really had a thirst for knowledge, this person would also always help me by giving me the newspaper free of cost. So he wanted to thank him. So he somehow tried to locate the person across the world, and he actually, lo and behold, he found him. So he went up to him in a very normal attire, and he said, do you recognize me? The old man said yes, because he had heard his name and fame. So, but he said, the young fellow said, yeah, but you actually don't recognize me. So the newspaper person, the vendor, he said, tell me more. So he said, you remember, I am the same person who would every day take the newspaper from you, and you would never charge. So I want to repay you for your kindness. Ask whatever you want and I'll repay you. So the newspaper vendor told a very beautiful statement. He said, well, I gave you when I myself didn't have much, you know, and now you want to repay me when you have so much. You can never equate the cost of those newspapers that I gave you when I didn't have much and you didn't have much. So it's okay, you just forget it and be happy. So this shows the mood that actually when we give, it is not what we give, how much we give, but with what mood we give. So coming to the topic, live to give, give to live, let's see how we can understand about this principle of giving and how by giving we can have a better life, have a better living, and also how we can practice it in our own lives. So when you give, it means it's a gift, right? Gift. It's a gift out of love, out of care to someone whom you love or who you care for. In other words, when you give, it's also called as charity. Okay, you give out of your concern for the others. Now, the term for charity in Sanskrit is daan. And daan, really the word cannot be translated into English because it's a word with a profound meaning. But still, for the sake of understanding, we can translate daan as charity. Now, we have to remember that when we say daan, and when we say charity, it's not an investment. It's not an investment in the sense that, you know, I give something. Like when you invest in, say, the stock market or mutual funds or some FDs, you know, in the bank, you invest for some time, the bank uses it, and then over a period of years, you get a return which is a little higher than your investment. So, daan is not like that, where you invest and you expect something to, you know, get in return. It's not an investment. Also, it's not a transaction, like you give, you know, I give and you take and then you give me something in return. No, it's not a transaction. So, daan is something which is given voluntarily, out of duty, out of concern for the other to help that person. That is daan. Now, and we may just ask each other, why do I need to give, you know, why should I give? So, in the Purusha Sukta prayers, there's a beautiful verse which says, Sahasra Shirsha Purusha, Sahasraksha Sahasra Partha. That means everyone is a part and parcel of the Supreme Lord. And when we understand this, that actually everyone, every living entity is a part and parcel of the Supreme Lord, we automatically tend to give. Like example, in our family, you know, if we are eating something, if we are eating a nice snack which our mother made, and the younger one asks you for a few more morsels or few more pieces of that item, would you not just share with him or her just because he's asking for you, from you? Or maybe he has got a little share, so you be out of concern, right? So when we understand that everyone, every living entity, including the animals, birds, plants, they are a part of the Supreme Lord, we automatically have the propensity or we develop the tendency to give. So it is basically out of care and concern for each other that we have this tendency to give. Also, in the Bhagavad Gita, it says, Saha Yagya Praja. That means everyone is taking part in this great, in this one Yagya, even the grass. So the Lord says, actually this life is meant to be a Yagya, where even unknowingly or knowingly, everyone is taking part, even the grass is taking part. So that means we are a part of the entire machinery where one gives, the other receives, right? And that's how the creation and the sustenance goes on. Now, if you, I try to search on the net, you know, what are the different types of charity that people do and what are the biggest charities that people invest in. So I found that many people give charity to, you know, institutions which help fight disease, like, say, malaria, blindness. Then there are some charities, very famous charities, which help people to overcome blindness. There are others which provide free food to the needy. There are some which provide free education to the needy. You know, so there are so many types of charity. Do you know that there's also a international, the UN, the United Nations has also declared a day in the calendar as the International Day for Charity. So this is 5th September. It has been followed since the year 2012. So, you know, almost 8 years are over. So 5th September every year is celebrated as the International Day of Charity. Also remember that, you know, a few years back, there was this big hoardings and advertisements about the Joy of Giving Week, where everyone was requested to just give gifts, you know, give gifts, give food, give whatever is you know, required by the needy, free of cost to others. And the entire week was celebrated as Joy of Giving. Now, why Joy of Giving? Do you really find joy in giving? Actually, as they say, the taste of the pudding is in the eating. So if you give to someone, then you will experience that joy, that, you know, when you share with someone, you get so much joy and pleasure out of it. And actually the scriptures say that, you know, when you share with someone, when you give out of love and concern, that is actually real dharma for a living being. You know? To uplift someone from their sufferings, to uplift them from their needs, that is the real dharma of human beings. So, not just that, it also gives your own self a lot of happiness, pleasure, a lot of peace and contentment, you know, when you give out of your feelings for others. It is explained as para dukha dukhi. That means you feel for the others while they suffer, and then not being able to, contain your emotions, not being able to see their suffering, you give out of your own to help them. Okay, so that is para dukha dukhi. Now, how much do we give? We'll come to what to give, but how much do we give? Like example, some shastras, it says that, you know, you have to give 1/5 of your income as dan, 1/5 of your income to the government as tax, so that the government protects you. Then at one place, one of our prominent acharyas, Srila Rupa Goswami, he says that 50% should be, you know, used in charity, especially to spread Krishna consciousness. We'll come to that later. And 25% should be kept for self, the needs, and 25% should be kept for the relatives. Now, 50% is a huge portion of your salary or your income. But Rupa Goswami explains that we should give 50% for charity. Now, just try to analyze two situations where, say you are going door to door to ask for some charity. Remember, like when we were young, we used to have, our schools would give us forms where we would collect donations for, say, the leprosy organizations or for the blind people's organization or for the aged, where we would actually take the forms and go house to house and, you know, knock the door or ring the bell and say, auntie, please give some donations. So now imagine if there's a normal poor vegetable vendor who gives 10 rupees for the cause. And say you enter a posh bungalow and the lady opens the door and gives 10 rupees. Now, which is more valuable? Of course, both are 10 rupees. You know, both the value is same. But if you try to analyze it, the poor vegetable vendor who probably just earns, say, a couple of hundreds in a day, he's giving 10%, which is a huge percent of his income for the day. And the person who's staying in the bungalow has so much, but just gives 10 rupees, which actually, if you evaluate it, it is the same as the 10 rupee note from the vegetable vendor. But it is not a significant portion of their income. So Shastras say that you should give to an extent that it pinches you. You know, somewhere you feel in your heart that, oh yes, I can give this, I can give a little more, so much so that then you feel, okay, now, maybe, now I should keep for myself, to an extent that it pinches you that, yeah, I have given my best, I have given whatever I can. So that is the extent that one should go for giving charity. As a good human, actually in Atharva Veda, there's a very nice statement which says, you should earn with hundreds of hands. You know, that means when you go out, when you set out to earn, don't think that, I should be satisfied. Even like Govind Prabhu was once explaining in a class that Lakshmi Devi, she comes to those who are never satisfied with what they have. So it's in a very positive context. It's not that, you have to be greedy. He explained in a very nice positive context that, as devotees or as people who want to do good for the society, we should not be content in, earning us, say, a fixed amount of money. We should try to earn more and more. And having obtained that money, having obtained Lakshmiji with us, then we should try to give more and more. So if a householder should not be satisfied with what he earns, he should earn more so that he can give more. So that's what is said in the Atharva Vedas, that you earn with hundreds of hands and give away with thousands of your hands. That means the more you earn, the greater you spend or the greater you give for charity. So it's a basic requirement of a good human being, a basic quality of a good human being, that they have this spirit of sacrifice, the spirit of compassion in their hearts, and they want to give. Like in Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says, Yajna, Dana and Tapa, these three have never to be given up. Yajna is sacrifice, Dana is charity, and Tapa is austerity. Krishna explains very nicely that these three aspects of life should be never given up by any individual in whatever condition of life. So sacrifice, charity and austerity has to be done because they are the means to purify oneself, to purify one's soul. Now, let us see how or what should we keep. I will just give you a small example here. This is a real life incident again, which I saw with my eyes. Once we were traveling in the train and, this person was just running behind the train to catch it and somehow he got in. But when he got in, he understood that, one of his chappals fell off while getting in. And then this person looked and he said, well, the other chappal is not of any use to me now that I have lost one. So let me leave it also on the platform so that someone may use it. But so he just left the other chappal on the, from the moving train, he left it on the platform. He thought it's a big charity, Ek to gaya, so what is the use of the other? He just left it. But what is the chance that some person, some needy person may find both the chappals, as a pair and use it? So that's not charity, Just because something is useless to you or just because something is of, no help to you, you just give it away. That's not charity. Okay. So what do we give? That's also important. Like example, let's speak of a tree and a river. Okay. A tree, it gives fruits to whoever comes under it. It gives shade to whoever comes under it. Like even though it's a big rogue, a big criminal, the tree will not mind. It will just give. Okay. Similarly, a river. Suppose someone has just slit the throat of his own mother, and then comes near the river to wash his hands or his dagger. the river will offer its water. It will not say, oh, you have killed your mother or you have performed a heinous crime, so I'll not offer you my water. No, the river just gives. So that is one way of looking at it, that, you know, give to whoever, whatever you meet, you just give, like the tree and the river. That's very good. But then we are humans, right? We have been given intelligence and discriminative power by Krishna, by the Lord, so that we can discern whom to give and what to give. So, in the Ramcharitmanas, Tulsidas, he says that in the human life, the greatest dharma is to help others in distress. And the greatest sin is to cause harm to others or hurt to others. Okay. Now, when we speak of charity, generally we think of charity in terms of money. Something which involves money, like whether you give food, clothing, shelter, we generally relate it to money. But do you know that there are many types of charity which don't involve money at all? Just trying to think about some types of charity where there's no involvement or there's no give and take of money indirectly or directly. So I came across this wonderful passage where it says there are so many types of charity which you can give without the involvement of money. So examples are prayers, you know, for someone who is in need of prayers, or when someone asks you for prayers, or for someone you care about, you can always offer prayers. They are a type of charity where you offer prayers for the benefit of the others. Then it says sweet words or sweet greetings or sweet words of encouragement. They cost nothing. But with a pure heart, with a good heart, you can offer them and uplift someone from their depressed morale. Right? Then there is advice or help when asked for. Okay? That is also free, but it may change someone's life. You know, when someone asks for it and you give with a good and clean heart, it can uplift someone's life. Then when you speak of giving time to your family, to your friends, especially in the time of their need. You see, when everything is nice, someone may invite you for a marriage, for a birthday party. It's very good to go, right? But if you're not able to make it due to some reason, they will understand. But if someone really needs you, say someone is very sick, say someone has lost a close relative, it is then that they are in greatest need. And it's then that we have to take out our time and by all means we have to visit that person, because that is a time when the person needs you. A friend in need is a friend indeed, right? So especially giving time, giving your patience to someone when they really need it, that costs nothing, but it will really help someone else. Then respect, you know, they say we should not demand respect, but we should command it. Meaning, the way you treat others, you will be treated. Right? So, as you sow, so shall you reap. So, if you treat others with respect, you will naturally get it. And you don't have to judge whether a person, you know, is worthy of your respect or no. That you can leave to the Lord to decide. But you as a human being, we as a human being should give respect to every living entity. Every living entity that we come across. Then we speak of forgiveness. You know, we should be forgiving. This is very important, especially in today's day and age where, you know, mercy has become, I mean, we see mercy going down and down in people's lives. But if you tend to forgive, if you develop that forgiving mentality, it is such a divine feeling, you know, to be able to forgive others and forget. And knowledge, right? And also, especially knowledge about or reminding someone about the path of God. So, Vidyadan, or the charity of knowledge about the Supreme Lord, or the path of attaining the Supreme Lord. That is actually the greatest charity you can give. Now, do you think, when we speak of charity, generally we say charity is to be given to the needy, by those who have it, right? Now, if you consider people across various classes, rich or poor, the women or men, high caste or low caste, the educated or the illiterate. Actually, if you see, everyone is in need of knowledge. Irrespective of whatever class or caste they come from, they are in need of knowledge. And what knowledge? The knowledge to help them transcend the material world and go back to Godhead. So in Bhagavad Gita, actually, Krishna clearly explains what is real charity. Okay, so Krishna says in the 17th chapter, Dātavyam iti yaddānam diyate nupakārine deshakāle cha pātre cha taddānam sattvikam sritam. So Krishna basically is describing charity in three modes. There are three modes, the modes of ignorance, passion, and goodness. So in Sanskrit, we say that the charity in the mode of tamas, rajas, and sattva. So let us analyze these three types so we can understand what is the best charity to give others. So when we speak of charity in the mode of ignorance, basically it means giving to an unworthy person for an unworthy cause and at the wrong time or place. Like example, if there's an alcoholic person, right, and you happen to see him and you say, oh, this is the husband of my maid, and the person comes to you and says, please give me some money, I am in need of alcohol. And you say, well, this lady works at my place and it's her husband, so let me give some money so that this fellow can, you know, buy alcohol for himself. Is that charity really? Or is that a good charity? It's actually in the mode of ignorance, because you are giving to an unworthy person who will misuse the money and do no good out of it. So that's like charity in the mode of ignorance. The second, a little better than that, is charity in the mode of passion, but it has some flaws also. I mean, it definitely has flaws. When you give charity with some expectation of return, where you expect some fruitive results out of it, or when you do charity without respecting the person or in a very grudging mood. Okay, you give for a good cause, but you give with a lot of grudge or out of some obligation. That is charity in the mode of passion. An example, one of our senior sannyasis was explaining, His Holiness Bhakti Rasamrita Maharaj, once he had gone for book distribution and he was trying to explain about the glories of Bhagavad Gita to a shopkeeper. And this shopkeeper probably had a very bad day that day, or maybe was in a bad mood. So he just said in a very grudging voice that, sadhus, you just come to beg, here, take this. And he just threw a 10 paisa coin on this person. And Bhakti Rasamrita Maharaj is such a gentle and saintly person. He didn't take any offense for the grudge. He just picked up that coin and he said, I will put it to good use. And then he went back to the temple, put the 10 paisa coin in the hundi, and he prayed, thinking that somehow this person has begun his goodness. He's begun his Krishna consciousness, because this 10 paisa, even though it was given with a lot of grudge, he kept it and put it in the hundi so that it can be used for the Lord's service in some menial way. So that's charity in the mode of passion, when you give with a lot of grudge, or when you give with expectation. Like example, you see people, when you go to a temple or a dharamshala, you can see big boards, or names carved on the marble slabs, that so and so person has given so much charity or so much funds. That is when you expect something in return. You want your name to be acknowledged. You want people to know that you have given charity. That charity in the mode of passion. And then there is charity in the mode of goodness, where you do it out of duty. You don't expect any return. You do it the proper time, the proper place, to the proper person. Kala, desha, patra. Kala means proper time, desha means proper place, and patra means to the proper person. Now, example, let's see some examples, like people who build wells to provide water to others, people who construct schools to impart education to the poor and the needy, who make ashrams for the old or for the orphan children, people who make hospitals, all these are called as philanthropic activities. So you do it to help the people in general, and you don't expect something out of it. That's charity in the mode of goodness. So like, once I had gone to this once we had gone to this place called Dapoli on the coast, Maharashtra, coast of Maharashtra, west coast of Maharashtra, and very beautiful place. And then we saw a very beautiful thing. Actually, Dapoli is a very scenic place. But the most beautiful thing we found there was this, you know, there was this street at the and the junction of some streets, two or three streets. And that main junction, which is a very prominent location, there was a huge, many shelves put up on the wall, many huge shelves, and a lot of compartments in the shell, in the cupboard-like structure with no doors, okay? And there was a very big label or big board on that which said, take whatever you want and give whatever you don't want, okay? And in Marathi, it was translated ki, je paije te ghya ani je nako te dya. Okay, something like that. So what it meant was, there were different compartments. Some had clothes, some had some old equipments, kitchen equipments. Some had books, some had pens, etc. You know, so people could just come and take what they wanted. Okay, like someone who's hungry can, and there were slots for keeping food. So someone who was hungry could just take up the food packets. Someone who didn't have clothes, someone who didn't have winter clothes could just pick up from that. And some people who had, like if I have, say, extra sweaters, I just go and, keep it in one of the boxes. So, whatever I don't want for myself, I can just keep it, leave it there for someone to come and pick up. So, that was a very, as I said, such a beautiful place, Dapoli. But the real beautiful thing in that place was this, you know, we found that it's such a nice gesture or endeavor by the common people to help each other, especially those who are in need. Now, so whatever charity we do, whether it is in the mode of passion, whether it is more in the mode of ignorance or in the mode of goodness, remember that we have to come back to reap the benefits. Like example, if I make big hospitals or give free medications to the people or to the diseased, it will be ensured that next life I'll get medical help at the right time. I will get all help when needed, right? That is ensured by the Lord as a result of my karma. But it means that I have to come back to take another life. Or suppose if I distribute a lot of prasadam packets or food packets, yeah? So I am ensured that next life there will be no dearth of food for me or for my family, yeah? So that is my good karma, which is I can reap the benefits. But mind you, we have to come back to reap that benefit in the next life. Is there some charity where we can end this cycle of birth and death? No. It's explained in the Shastra that this material world is a place of dukkha. Dukkhalayam or Shashvatam. It is temporary and it is full of miseries. So, if I give charity and have to come back to the same material world to reap the good benefits of my charity, it makes me think, is there something I can do by which I can transcend this material life altogether and go to a place which is eternal, full of bliss, right? And from where I don't have to come back again. Okay, exact opposite of the material world. Material world is temporary and full of miseries. But can I go to a place which is permanent and just full of bliss? Okay, so Krishna explains, yes, there is something like that. So that is called as Nirguna Dhan. Nirguna Dhan means you're not bound by the modes of goodness, passion or ignorance to come back to this material world to reap the benefits of the charity. So it helps us to transcend the modes, and especially so the charity that is explained in this is giving something which will help people come closer to Krishna. It will help people to begin and continue their path on Krishna consciousness. Their path of starting to love God. Okay? So, something which you can give so that people can begin their journey of loving God. Because once you start loving God, then you don't have to endeavor for anything. Like a person who is dedicated to the Lord, Krishna will automatically provide. Now, let us analyze. Suppose you give food, clothing, a shelter to anyone, right? Or education, or disease, relief from disease or distress. How long will it last? It will last maybe a couple of days, a couple of months, a couple of years. But when the person finally has to leave the body, that person cannot take any of these things with them, right? The person, the soul has to go alone, leaving all these things behind, okay? But if somehow you can connect someone to the path of God, to the path of loving God, right? That knowledge and that realization, even if the soul leaves the body, this knowledge and realization will go with the soul and help the soul to ascend to a higher destination. Okay, so like one more initiative of this, I'll give you a small example. Like my Guru Maharaj, His Holiness Radhanath Swami, way back, you know, when he was asked that, you know, in Bombay we see so many poor people begging on the streets, you know, coming at the doors of the taxi or car to ask for some alms. What do we do? And Guru Maharaj had clearly said that you should not give money, because, I mean, money should be given, but provided it is put to good use. But instead, you can carry small prasadam packets, you know, something which can be eaten, which is actually offered to the Lord, pack it in a small packet and give it to this needy people. So what happens is they get something for their body to eat, and because it is Krishna prasad, they also can go higher. They have eaten Krishna prasad, so somehow their devotional life has begun. Some sukriti, some goodness has come to their lives. Even in Belgaum, there's this, we have seen videos circulating on WhatsApp where this Belgaum initiative is where people, when beggars ask for money, they don't give them money, but they give them food coupons. You know, so that, because money can be misused or can be snatched away from these poor people. But when you give food coupons, they can actually go to some stalls which are authorized and then get food out of those coupons, food from those exchange of those coupons. Now, as I said, everyone is needy for this knowledge. You know, whether it is rich, poor, civilized, uncivilized, everyone is needy, and we need to give this knowledge. And that is the real need of the society. That is the real need of of an item which we can give in charity, because it actually removes the ignorance from the mind and illuminates people on the path of God consciousness. Now, who can give this knowledge? Okay. I mean, we are speaking to you all who are just young girls, maybe just connected to Krishna consciousness. So, do you have so much knowledge that you can give to others? Well, again, this is a very fond memory in my life. I had just started coming to the temple. It was just 2 months that I had started chanting. And we had this very nice yatra in Pune. And I asked, because I was so much inquisitive, and I had this lot of, I had a lot of eagerness to get this question answered. So I asked my Guru Maharaj that, but somehow I was connected to one person in Krishna consciousness since 2 years, but I myself was not chanting. I was chanting only since 2 months then. So I had asked my Guru Maharaj that, we want to spread this Krishna consciousness to everyone we meet, because we know it's the best. But we are so new in Krishna consciousness. How can we distribute it? So Maharaj said, how old are you? So in Krishna consciousness. And somehow by mistake, I said 2 years. And 2 years actually was just the time that I had been sort of this person of who gave me introduction about Krishna consciousness. She had just come into my life, but I was not chanting. I had just been chanting since 2 months. And Guru Maharaj gave such a wonderful answer. He said, you know, when Prabhupada was there with us, even if we were just 2 months old, he would send us to preach. So somehow Maharaj understood that, he got the real truth from me, that actually I was just 2 months old in Krishna consciousness, chanting only since 2 months. But he said, even if you're 2 months old, Prabhupada would send us to far off places to spread Krishna consciousness. And Maharaj often gives this, very fondly he quotes this example, this devotee of disciple of Srila Prabhupada, Shyam Sundar Prabhu. At that time, he had a very young daughter, just a three-year-old daughter named Saraswati. And Maharaj says that whoever she would meet, once Maharaj went and she just started tugging at his dhoti. And when Maharaj turned, who is this? She just said, guess what? And Maharaj said, what? She said, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And she just ran away. So Maharaj very fondly describes that how this person, this small little child, she just knew that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's what she understood. That's what she heard from her parents and from Srila Prabhupada and from the other devotees. And whoever she met, she said, Krishna is the Personality of God, Supreme Personality of God, Godhead. So that's the way she was preaching. So Maharaj said, so the gist of what he said was, whether you are a few days old or many days old or many years old, your duty is to distribute this Krishna consciousness, to spread this Krishna consciousness to everyone. Now, you must have heard about Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya is an incarnation of the Lord, Lord himself, of Lord Krishna, and who comes in a very, very merciful avatar. Merciful in the sense he just wants to give. He doesn't want to take. He doesn't see any of your qualifications. He just gives. So he says, Bharata Bhumite Haila Manushya Janmayar Janma Sarthaka Kari Kara Paraupkar. In essence, he says, one who is born in the land of Bharata Bhumi, he is so fortunate, especially one who is born as a human being in the land of Bharata Bhumi. So, such a person should first Janma Sarthaka Kari, should actually fulfill the benefit of his life, make his life glorious. And then kara para upkar, and then do charity to others, do para upkar to the others. So basically it means you make your own life glorious by following Krishna consciousness and you spread it to others all around you, okay? Irrespective of whatever or wherever they come from, just as a deep concern for their upliftment, you spread it to them. In fact, there's one more verse which says, Uttishtataha jagrataha praptavaram nibadata. That means you have now got the human form of life. Get up and make your life successful by spiritual realization and by spreading it. Okay. So the phrase sarva sukhina bhavantu, it means you make everyone happy. And how is that possible? By giving Krishna consciousness, the knowledge of God to everyone. Now, when I speak of live to give, okay, we are speaking of charity. But how can we understand give to live? Okay, you were given to live. How can we understand that? So this is again very nicely explained as I touched upon it earlier. You know, when you give out of concern for some material things, the person will not be able to carry with him or her when they finally have to leave the body. But if you give the knowledge of Bhagavad Gita, if you give the knowledge of Krishna, if you give the knowledge of the importance of association of devotees, the importance of reading from scriptures, the importance of practicing Krishna consciousness, the importance of chanting the holy names of the Lord, and the importance of sharing it with others, the knowledge which is earned will remain eternally with the soul. And Krishna explains, you know, that when the person leaves the body and gets another body, like suppose the person has, say, finished 25% of devotional service in this life or 25% Krishna consciousness in this life, next life he'll begin with 26th percentage. Like normally, you know, now suppose I have done my MD, okay? But when I came to life, I had to begin with a-e-e or little syllables which my mother taught. And then maybe in school I learned ABCD and then IE Marathi. And then I gradually ascended to do my degree and postgraduate degree. Right? But suppose whenever I leave my body and I get a new life, will I know this MD knowledge? No. I'll again have to start with the basic thing. If I'm born in America, maybe I will learn ABCD. If I'm born in France, I'll maybe learn their syllables. Yeah? It will not be carried. But Krishna assures us that whatever percentage of Krishna consciousness you do in this life, the next life you start from the next percentage. So if I've done 25%, if I have tried my best and become 25% Krishna conscious in this life, next life Krishna assures me, Krishna guarantees that you will start from the 26th. You don't have to again do the ABC of your life or ABC of your spiritual life. Yeah. So when we live to give, when we live to give Krishna consciousness or knowledge of the Bhagavad Gita and the scriptures to the others, we are actually giving ourselves a chance to live eternally. We are giving that person a chance to live eternally with the Lord, whenever the Lord takes the person back to Godhead, and we are giving ourselves a chance, as Lord Chaitanya says, Janma sarthaka kari kara parupkar. Once you fulfill the obligation of your life, you make your life perfect and you help others by spreading the message. So I'm giving myself a chance to go back to Godhead. So I'm giving to live eternally in that dham which is eternal, full of bliss, no miseries, and from where I don't have to ever come back again. So I'm living to give charity of the Vidyadan from Bhagavad Gita and the scriptures, and while giving, I am actually creating a place for myself to live with the Supreme Lord wherever and whenever He desires. Now, we may also be under the some hesitation, as I said earlier, that I don't know much, so how do I give? Or some of you must have experienced that when you try to give to your friends or relatives, they object. They say, what is the need now? Or they may, treat you as mad. They may label you as mad. But it is because it is our duty to give, we can try. Right? So there are some disappointments which may come in our way. And let's just touch upon some aspects of how we can continue to give this Vidyadan, continue to give this knowledge of the Shastras and about the Lord to others, even though we are faced with disappointments. Like example, when you speak about Krishna or when you speak about devotees, you may face a lot of resentment and negativity, right? But don't ever use words which will disturb the other person. You don't have to flatter that person saying that, oh, you are right, I am wrong. But, say when you are eating dhokla, okay? Dhokla has a flavor of itself. But when you temper it with rice, mustard seeds, that flavor goes to a next level, right? Similarly, you have the words of Krishna consciousness of the Shastras, but when you temper it with your own sweet flavor, your own sweet concern for the other, and you use words in a very nice way, not to disturb that person, but to encourage that person, that will go a long way. Secondly, when we are practicing Krishna consciousness, we know that some things which the other person is doing is outrightly it is foolish, actually foolishness, but you don't have to judge them, you don't have to condemn them. You can, use nice statements or feelings to convey so that they feel understood. They don't feel discouraged, but they feel encouraged, and gradually they can come up to the level. Then we are not here to do fault finding. Sometimes we feel that just because I am practicing Krishna consciousness, I am the most pure person in the universe, and I can deliver the entire world. No, sorry. That's not the case. We are just a messenger of the Lord. We are trying to be a servant of the servant of the servant of the messenger of the Lord, that is Srila Prabhupada. And somehow by His mercy, we are able to give the message. So we need not feel proud, definitely. But we don't have to judge or make fault finding with others, right? If we consider our own selves, how much Krishna has given us the benefit of doubt. So many lifetimes, we have forgotten Krishna. We have never even bothered to look back at Him. In every species of life, whatever form of life we took, whether it was an aquatic, a bird, an animal, an insect, or even as a human form of life, how many millions of lifetimes we have somehow forgotten Him. We have never bothered to look back at Him. But He is still waiting for us. He is still waiting that sometime we will turn back and approach Him or let him approach him with his kindness. So Krishna has given the benefit of doubt to us. Why don't we give the benefit of doubt to others? And instead of just chastising or, you know, correcting them in a very absurd way, we can use our friendliness, our sweet words, our sweet greetings to encourage them, right? Now, again, one more thing is, like they say, when in France, speak French, yeah? So, we have to make sure that we use language, we use a paraphrasing system by which the person can be made to understand the principles of Bhagavad Gita. Many times, you know, we as a practicing devotee, or maybe we have come in touch with some devotees, we have started chanting or we have started associating with the devotees of the Lord, we can find so much pleasure in the words of the scriptures, in the words of the devotees. Sorry. But the general population may not be able to understand that. But when we paraphrase the same knowledge in terms or a language which they can understand, they can also gradually appreciate the knowledge and they can also gradually be elevated. So in short, what I'm trying to say is, no matter how old you are in Krishna consciousness, no matter whether it is just a few days, a few weeks, few months, or few years that you have come in touch with the mind, gold mine of Krishna consciousness, the touchstone of devotee association, you have to develop that conviction that I have got the best, and a kind person will automatically, when he has great wealth, a kind person will automatically want to share with others. So when I have the best, when we have the best, let us share it with others, irrespective of what amount of knowledge I've got. If I can just pray to the Lord and somehow make an effort to spread this knowledge to others, to practice this knowledge in my own life, and then help others to understand this language, it is not just helping me to be charitable for the best cause, but it is also giving me, as well as the other persons, an opportunity to enter into the eternal realm of Krishna's world, where we don't have to face any more of the miseries of this material world, and where we all can live happily together forever. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Thank you very much. This was so beautiful. Thank you so much for this inspiring talk this evening. And you really took us in a very, very beautiful and systematic fashion, from telling us what charity or what donation is all about, and then telling us different forms of donation, the different modes of charity, and then what is the supreme most form of charity, and how we can actually utilize something that we've received, which is the best gift that we've received, by giving it to everyone at large, and thus sharing this best gift and making our lives a success and making everybody else's lives a success as well. This is so beautiful, so sublime, and in the true sense, so satisfying for all of us. Thank you so much for sharing this message. And we've been told there are no questions as of now, which is fine. I think we can ask our kirtan team to maybe lead us into another nice, sweet kirtan. And yes, and this was really beautiful. Thank you so much. Very, very grateful to you for this sublime message. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. So all of you who are with us, we hope you got to learn a lot, got to assimilate a lot from this little talk that we had this evening. And we also want to tell you that Chetna IYS is a regular monthly program for the girls. And we normally have our sessions on the second Saturday of every month. And please do follow us on our Instagram and our Facebook page. Our handle is IYS Chetna Festival. And as of now, we're going to leave you with this beautiful bunch of our kirtaniyas, who are going to lead you into another nice, soulful kirtan, and then we shall bid goodbye to you. So, a very warm welcome to the kirtan team again. Hari Bol.
Hari Bol.
let's start. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama
Hare Krishna,
मुझे औरों का तो नहीं पता बट आपके मृदंग के ताल के साथ आई वॉज डेफिनेटली डांसिंग बैक स्टेज ओवर हियर सो थैंक यू सो मच एंड वाइल वी आर ऑल वेटिंग टू हैव चेतना इन अ फिजिकल फैशन इन द टेम्पल इट्स वेरी नाइस टू बी कनेक्टेड विद ईच वन ऑफ यू लाइक दिस ऑनलाइन एज वेल तो हमारे साथ जुड़े रहा कीजिए एंड लाइक यू मेंशन्ड सेकेंड सैटरडे ऑफ एवरी मंथ इज वेन वी हैव अ चेतना ऑनलाइन प्रोग्राम्स सो काइंडली स्टे कनेक्टेड विद अस ऑल्सो फॉलो अस ऑन आर इंस्टाग्राम एंड आर फेसबुक हैंडल्स विच इज IYS चेतना फेस्टिवल सो दैट यू हैव सो दैट यू आर अपडेटेड विद ऑल आर अपकमिंग इवेंट्स इट वॉज सच अ प्लेजर बींग विद ईच वन ऑफ यू thank you once again for joining us and sparing your valuable and wonderful evening with us. With this good thought that we can meet again very, very soon. Thank you. Hare Krishna.